are listening to the ministry of Pastors Brad and Blonnie Smith, lead pastors of Woodward First Assembly, located in Woodward, Oklahoma. You're about to experience a life-changing word from God. Today, there is a special guest in the house, and we trust that they have a right now anointed word from the Lord. Let's go live right now into the sanctuary and hear this powerful word from our very special guest.
Real quick, if you have your Bibles, we are going to be in 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. We going old school. Old school, but still relevant. I don't know who needs to hear that, but you need to hear it. Just because it's in the Old Testament doesn't mean it's obsolete. First Kings chapter 17, starting in verse 1. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed ravens to supply you with food there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. And the ravens brought him bread and meat. Woo! Them ravens brought him a sandwich. In the morning and bread in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. Lord God, let your word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path this morning, Lord God. Lord God, I pray that your word will chip even the most callous of hearts this morning, Lord God. We love you and we praise you. We ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. If I say amen a lot this morning, hang with me. Amen. Understand, as we move into this new year, Pastor Brad has started this new series entitled "This I Know." And last week, if you don't remember, the title of his message was "This I Know: Revival is Still Necessary." How many of y'all believe that? Listen, as I began to study for this series, there was a lot of things that I knew about God to be true. I knew it. Okay. I begin to go down the list of this I know blank about God. This I know about, I'm not going to say all the things because I don't want to ruin the surprise because pastor's going to blow your socks off and all this fun stuff. But one thing that I was reminded about that was true when it came to God is he is still my provider. I want to declare to you this morning, this I know to be true, that God is still your provider. He is the provider. Despite of everything in the year 2020, God has still shown himself to be my source. The years leading up to 2020 and 2020 itself has been the most fruitful year of mine and Kelsey's ministry. We have seen healings in our ministry more than we've ever seen before. We've seen more students filled with the Holy Spirit than ever before, and we have had more students called into ministry than have ever been before in all the other years of our ministry. Understand something. God is my source. This I know, he is still a provider. He is still working, he is still moving, and he is providing. Look at your neighbor and say, provide. Listen, when I get on Facebook, help me. When I get on Facebook, I see discouragement and I see confusion. And understand, that's just in several of the ministry groups that I'm in. In the ministry groups, I see desperation, discouragement, and confusion. During this time of chaos and confusion, there's many questions and concerns when it comes to ministers of the gospel. They say things like, how am I going to make it if our doors get shut? If my church closes, how am I going to make ends meet? My congregation has given in to fear, or they've given in to laziness. Come on, somebody. I hope you packed a lunch. And they decided they're just not going to come back. Do I need to quit my job? Do I need to sell cars? Do I need, how am I going to make it? Do I need to find a secondary? They're asking all these questions. This is in a ministry group. This is in several, the ones I hadn't been kicked out of yet. God's still working on me. I like to argue. But then I see things kind of similar on just my regular old news feed. What about my job? What about my business? Where in the world is my stimulus check? My stimulus check is not enough. I can't make it without my stimulus check. What about my health? If COVID kills me, who will provide for my family? Understand something. Those are all concerns that I have seen, and I do not believe that y'all are naive enough to just skip over those. Y'all have seen them too. Amen. Y'all have seen them. Some of y'all are experienced that. Some of y'all have even asked those questions yourself. Well, this morning, I'm here to declare to you that COVID may have changed a lot of things when it comes to our health, when it comes to our finances, and when it comes to our sanity. But COVID, the one thing it has not changed is God. You have to understand, God is the same yesterday, He is the same today, and He'll be the same forever. Oh, come on, listen. What God did way back then, guess what? He'll do the same for you. It may seem like the brook has ran dry and the heavens have shut up. But listen, if God will provide for Elijah, He'll provide for you. He's no respecter of person. The God that provided in the ram, a ram in the bush for Abraham, He'll provide for you. Listen, I want to throw this passage into context, okay? Because I believe context is important. Now, I'm going to be jumping around a little bit more than normal, but I need you to hang with me, okay? First of all, if you, this is kind of its own passage, okay? Elijah, prophet of God, amazing prophet of God, probably one of my favorites, if I'm allowed to have a favorite. I heard that that's not fair, but I don't care. Elijah's my favorite. There, I said it. He's my favorite. Any prophet that can just pray and shut up the rains, listen, that's a bad dude. But then in the next breath, God is telling him to go and hide yourself. And we find that in the midst of this famine, Elijah, doing what God said and having faith with God, being obedient and having faith in God, does what God says, and God provides food and nourishment in the middle of a famine. Look at your neighbor and say, won't he do it? Won't he do it? I want to give you two principles this morning that are key in God's provision for your life. Listen, I'm sure there's more. In fact, I know for a fact there's more, but for the sake of not keeping you here for 9.5 hours this morning, I want to highlight two that are very important when it comes to your provision. Number one, if you're taking notes, obedience. Look at your neighbor and say, obedience. Obedience. Understand, if you want God to come through for you, you better listen to me. You have to be obedient to what He said concerning the things of God. Now, I'm about to do something, and I'm going to be honest with you. This is the part I don't believe you're ready for. I'm about to talk about your money. Yeah, this youth pastor is about to talk about money. This is unprecedented times, everybody. But here we are, because I want you to know something. When it comes to provision, money is almost at the forefront of our provision mindset. Is that how is God going to provide our finances? Listen, here's what God says when it comes to provision for your finances. This is important. Okay, in Malachi chapter 3 tells us that we rob God in tithes and offerings. Everybody knows that. But listen. God said to bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Now, I want to talk to you about the tithe real quick, because there's a principle that we don't quite grasp. Everybody's got different translations when it comes to tithes and offerings, and I want you to know, when it comes to things like that, there's only one translation, and that is what God said. Okay, it's what God said. Now, a lot of people believe that when it comes to tithe, tithing is an Old Testament concept and no longer necessary. But when I read Malachi, you have to understand something. Malachi is not a book of law. It's an Old Testament book where they were under the law, but Malachi itself was not a book of the law. And number two, I want you to hear me when it comes to the tithe predates the law. The tithe was important before the law, and it's important after it. It's important. Now, I want to talk about the tithe because it does mean 10%, but I want you to know that in biblical context, it means the first 10. Look at your neighbor and say, the first. I want to help you out this morning. The first. Listen, Malachi, tithing is a major way to show that God is put first in your life. Okay? Of course, it's not the only way to show that God is first in your life, but understand something. It's a very important way. The Bible says, Jesus said it himself, that where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And so when we invest first, we show God, first of all, before I take care of my kingdom, before I take care of my business, God, I want to be obedient and I want to give to your kingdom. And when we're obedient to God, Malachi goes on to say that he's going to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you ain't got room to receive. How many of y'all want one of them flowing over blessings? Amen. You got to get a saucer under that cup because you're going to lose some stuff. You know what I'm saying? Listen, first, look at your neighbor and say, first. First. Lord have mercy. I'm getting away from my notes. I better get back before I get in trouble. You see, obedience is important. God requires the first. Why? Because God blesses obedience. If you're not being obedient to God, number one, you're out of order. Okay? Now, let me test you because I can feel the tension. And I want you to know something. It's okay. I like awkwardness. I want to help you try to wrap your mind around this. Okay? Because we expect different out of our children. Okay, how many of y'all reward your kids when they talk back to you? How many of you reward your kids when, I can have fun with this, when you ask them to do something and they say, in a minute. Uh-oh. How many are all like, that's the exact response I was looking for. Here's $20, go get yourself something nice. My favorite, listen, I'm God's still working on me. I'm not an obedient husband. My wife tells me to do stuff, and I'll say in a minute. But we ain't talking about husbands. We're talking about kids, okay? We're talking about cheering, okay? Listen, but the moment that they learn to say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, and they take your word for it, they find out that their life is much better off. Yes. I got one witness. That's all I need. I don't even have to take him an offering. He'll cover it. Oh, he's quiet now. Listen, when it comes to being obedient, listen, disobedience, when your kid backtalks you, how many of y'all know that life begins to get really hard for them? It begins to get really strenuous on them. But the moment that they're obedient, they just do what you say the first time. Things just kind of go in order. There's no yelling. There's no hitting. I know it's 2021, but I still spank my kids. I'm glad they're sweet for y'all, but they save all that for me and my wife when I get home. But listen, God is a rewarder of obedience. When we stay in line with God, our life just ends up to be a little bit better. All right? In fact, if you want to take it further, it begins to get a little bit great. But the moment that we step out of line and we're not being obedient, we're out of order. And we have to understand God shuts up the heavens. There's an important aspect that I'm trying to build to when it comes to provision financially. If in 2021, if you're not a tither, I challenge you. Yeah, I'm calling you out. I don't know what else to say. I challenge you to be a tither. Listen to me. Me and my wife, we're at a point in our life, we can't afford not to tithe. In fact, we're at the point to where, I mean, if for some crazy reason my wife, you know, forgets to pay tithes like immediately after I get paid, we go into panic mode. Because there was a time in my life where I was brand spanking new to ministry. My wife was a pastor's kid. She grew up in this mess. I didn't know what in the world I was getting into. I was just being obedient. Okay, God, I'll go do ministry. That sounds fun. And we get in there, and man, we started out our marriage and ministry living on love. And that was it. That was it. Tithing was it wasn't a foreign concept. I heard of it. I was a preacher for crying. I've heard of it. But there were days and there were months where their struggle was real. Can I get a witness? The struggle was real. Listen, we had to come down. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was, Lord have mercy, 10 years ago. We had a choice to make. We could either pay our tithes or we could pay the electric bill. And we couldn't do both. And of course, I'm green, not knowing any better. I say, honey, we got to pay the electric bill. It's winter in Arkansas. That doesn't mean anything now that I live in Oklahoma. It snowed yesterday, and here we all are. It's weird to me. But I was like, we got to pay that electric bill. Let's just pay it. And my wife argued with me. And so we found a compromise, and we did what she wanted. She wanted to pay tithes, so that's what we did. And I'm freaking out. I'm like, this is great. I mean, we're going to get behind. They're going to start tacking on all these things. And my wife was like, bro, stop. And my wife, who grew up in this, she's a giver. She's a giver. Here's how big of a giver she is when it comes to the things of God. When we have a missionary, this last year in 2021, we did this thing where a missionary would come, and I would have in my mind what we're supposed to give, and she would have in her mind what we're supposed to give. And so, like, she would be like, how much do you want to give? And I will say, I think we should give $50. And she was like, okay, I think we should give 100. So we're going to give $150. Oh. Help me. Somebody help me. And we would do it. And you know, the crazy thing is we never missed it. Back to the story 10 years ago. I remember walking into the church that very Sunday morning, trying to put on my fake smile because I'm a pastor. My pastor made me wear suits. Bless God, I ain't got to do that no more. I've outgrown all my suits since I've lived here. I walk in there, got my tie on, my suit, and I'm just walking in and got this fake smile like everything is okay. But deep down, I'm like, I can't watch TV when I get home. It's going to be cold. And I walked in early. My wife showed up early with me too. And we looked on the bar, the cabinet of the church. We walk in, you walk through the kitchen area. And there was an envelope with our name on it. And I'm going to be honest, it was a fat envelope. And when my wife opened the envelope, because I give all envelopes to my wife, she began to cry, she began to dance, and she began to praise God because there was money in that envelope. Now, I want to tell you something about the provision of God. I can't promise you that God is going to provide you with checks and money, but what I can promise you is God will bless and extend and stretch what you have. And he'll make you thrive. But listen, there's some moments where God comes through, and inside that envelope was all 20s that added up to $400 that covered our electric bill and it covered our car payment after we tithed on it. Listen, I want to help you in 2021. I want to see God's provision for all of you in 2021. But understand, obedience is the key. Obedience is the key. Now, we talked about money. You can add that to time. You can put time in the place of money. You can put talent in the place of money. There's so many things that you can put in the place. But listen, when it comes to provision, we are to seek the kingdom of God first. It's in Matthew chapter 6. I'm not going to go there. I want you to go study it for yourself. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If you put that verse into context, you know what that's talking about? It's Jesus dealing with worry and anxiety. All the things that you worry about when it comes to provision. How is God going to provide this? How is this going to happen? How is this end going to meet? Listen, Jesus gives you the key. You put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The problem is we seek our kingdom first and we give God our leftovers. Listen, I'm trying to help you this morning. The second key I want to give you, talked about obedience. Now I want to talk to you about faith. Faith, the second key is faith. At the end of the day, I got to ask the question, do you simply believe that God will do everything that he said that he would do for you? Especially when it comes to his provision. Do you believe it? Or, dare I say it, do you give into fear and go into panic mode? I want to be honest, I've seen that more lately in saints than I have seen ever in my entire life, where the saints of God who have been tested and have proved that God is faithful all of a sudden have been freaking out. They're freaking out over an election that they obviously can't control. They're freaking out about their health. They're freaking about their finances. But I got to ask you, which one are you feeding more? Born-again children of God are being shaken in their faith and have given in to worry, which leads to fear, which leads to depression, anxiety, and isolation. Fear and worry is not becoming of a child of God. I want to be honest. Freak-out mode doesn't look good on us. Fear does not look good on us. Anxiety does not look good on us. But the reality is, so many born-again children of God today have lost faith in their source. They're finding source in their government. They have more faith in the government than they do in God. How is that going, by the way? How is that working out for you, may I ask? I'm going to be honest. You need to understand me and you need to hear me well. We do not need our bank account stimulated. We need our faith stimulated. I need you to hear me. You don't need more money. You need more faith. I'm going to ask you at the end of the day, do you just simply believe? Do you take God at his word? I love Paul when he said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging for bread. Do you believe that he will? Oh, come on, somebody. Do you believe that he will? Look at your neighbor and say, won't he do it? Now, I know what most of y'all are thinking. Most of y'all are Bible theologians, and I know what you were thinking, that, wow, Pastor Seth, we have gotten a long way from Elijah. I want us to bring it back. I want us to bring it back, okay? Because like I said, it seems like I went really far that way, and it really went really far that way, but I want us to pick back up into something, because we've highlighted where Elijah is. He's at the brook, okay? God is providing for him. That's where he is at. Now, I want to look at where he is going. Okay, so if you got your Bible, we're going to go back to 1 Kings chapter 7. We're going to be starting in verse 8. Okay, 1 Kings chapter 17, we're going to be starting in verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Why does he need provision? Well, I'll tell you why. The brook dried up. Has anybody been there? Come on, somebody. Has anybody been there? God seems to be doing a great thing at where you're at, and then all of a sudden the brook dries up. But the problem is you've gotten comfortable, and now you don't want to go. I ain't going to preach about that this morning. I'm going to keep reading. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little jar of oil. And you have to see, I am gathering a couple sticks that I may go and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. I want you to look where Elijah was. And now I want you to look at where he's at right now. Elijah had just tested and proved the provision of God by being obedient to God. When God said, go, he went. And then went by having faith in God. Just believing that God was going to prepare and do what he said. Because God said some crazy things. Has a raven ever brought you a sandwich? Never in my life have I seen it. I'd have a hard time believing that. But nevertheless, he was obedient and had faith, and he went. Now we come to a place where he is encountering a widow who's at her wit's end, who has nothing, there's nothing else for her to do. All she has left is a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil to make one more cake. And she tells him, listen, this is all I have left. This is it. And I plan on cooking it and splitting it between me and my son. And that's it. We're going to eat it. And then we're just going to lay down and die. Have you been there? Maybe that just kind of described 2020 to you. You've done about all you can do. Those of y'all that are watching online that are isolated at home, isolation, depression sinks in, and you think there's nothing else for me to do. We have people dying in hospital rooms by themselves, lonely and depressed. But I need you to hear me this morning. God knows where you're at. God knew where this woman was at, and so he sent Elijah. And if we keep on reading, and Elijah said to her, do not fear. In other words, Elijah said to her, have faith. You see where we're going? Have faith. You got to have faith. When it comes to the provision of God, you got to have faith and go and do, not just think and say. Because faith without works is dead. When it comes to faith, faith requires action. And she had faith to go and do. He said, go and do as you have said, but make a small cake from it first. Did you catch that? We have faith. And we have first. And bring it to me. And after you make some for yourself and your son, for thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day of the Lord, the day the Lord sends the rain on the earth. Did you catch it this morning? We have faith and we have first. We have a chance to go and act on what God said and believe him, and then we have a chance to be obedient and take care of God first. And so she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he of her and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up. Come on, somebody. Nor the jar of oil run dry according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoke by Elijah. I want to talk to you and finish this up. I wish I would have entitled this, Won't He Do It? Especially when it comes to the obedience part. And especially when it comes to faith. That's why I highlighted these two keys. Because in the day that we're living, I wish I could tell you, I wish I could stand up here and boldly proclaim that 2021 is going to be better than 2020 was. The reality is, I cannot promise you that. But what I can promise you is that the same God that was God before 2020 and the same God that was God during 2020 will be the same God in 2021. And this I know to be true, that God is a God that still provides. In the midst of famine, when the brook is dried up, when you've gone and you've given all that you know how to do, listen, God is still a God that will supply. The question is, will we be obedient? Or will we believe him? So I want everybody to stand to your feet this morning. Understand something. I can't very well stand up here and promise you that God is going to be faithful if I've not seen God faithful in my own life. It was the same thing that was true for Elijah. Elijah had no business telling that woman that God is going to provide if he first did not experience the provision of the Lord. That's how leaders work. I can't take you anywhere that I haven't been. Pastor Brad can't lead you anywhere that he hasn't been. That's leadership 101. So when Pastor gave me this assignment, and he said specifically, if you're going to preach on provision, I want you to hit on tithing and offerings. I'm going to be honest. I'm not doing it with a heart where I want your money. And I want to be honest with you. God doesn't need your money. In fact, if you think this is about money, you've missed it. It ain't about money. It's about obedience. It's about having faith that when you put into God's hand first, that he's going to take care of whatever is left, and he is going to bless, and he is going to cause you to thrive. And I want to be honest. Money is a hot topic right now. With all these stimulus, and understand, I'm not going to get into how I feel about the stimulus stuff. But it's a hot topic right now with businesses that are losing their business. Jobs that are no longer available, that have been available for the last 20, 30 years. People that are hurting because of finances, because their job was just, I'm sorry, there's no more. 2 or 3 years from retirement, I talked to one guy. He said, I got let go 3 months before I was supposed to retire. I'm going to be honest with you. God provides. Listen, you may not be able to sit there and calculate it and add it up. I remember a couple, maybe I was only in ministry for maybe 3 years. I was stuck at a church. I say stuck, I don't want to say that. That's terrible. I was there. And we were just doing our best. Just had our first baby. Kelsey couldn't work because we just had our baby, and I'm working. I was quad vocational at one time. I had 4 jobs. I was at the church making $200 a week, and they considered me full-time. They wanted me there full-time. But luckily, part of my full-time was I got to go to the school and sub a little bit. But I remember sitting down one day because someone told me, I think it was Dave Ramsey, pretty smart guy. He said, what you need to do is you need to write down your budget. You need to write down everything, all your spending, all the money you made. And so I was real encouraged to go do that. And so I did it, and it freaked me out. It absolutely freaked me out. I had my wife go and check my work because I'm terrible at math. And she checked my work, and she was like, she freaked out. She's like, no, this is right. According to what I wrote down, me and my wife should have been homeless 9 months ago. We should have been out, busted, disgusted. We should have been on food stamps. We should have been begging. But here is where we are at. In that moment, we had cars. We had several. We went out and ate every Sunday after church. We went on date nights. We had all of our bills paid, all of our ends met somehow. It didn't make sense on paper, but I believe that it was a supernatural provision of God. And what He did for me, He will do for you. I'm not some arrogant pastor thinking I'm something special. No, listen, I'm nobody. Who am I that the Lord God is mindful of me? What He did for me, He will do for you.
We are so honored that you have taken the time to partner with this podcast today. This podcast is in no way intended to replace the local church in your life. Instead, its purpose is to enhance and encourage your faith. If you're in the Woodward, Oklahoma area, join us for one of our exciting worship experiences. We are located at 3906 Lakeview Drive in Woodward, Oklahoma. Our Sunday worship begins at 10:30 a.m. and our Wednesday night Bible study begins at 7 p.m. Once again, thanks for connecting with us today, and be blessed.